We are a product management in a service world, and that's what we need to deliver. So let me give you three big pieces that will help you with this a lot. And most people will not do this, and the people that actually do this will win big time. So here's what I mean. Take a sheet of paper and...
Real estate touches every one of our lives, yet it is the last major industry to undergo a much-needed digital transformation. That's why the brightest minds, backed by the biggest investors, are on this mythical quest to build one app to rule them all. I'm Sharan Srivatsa, and he is Pritesh Damani, and we're breaking down the quest for real estate's holy grail. Welcome to the Super App Podcast.
Today, I want to open your eyes to something that you probably have never had a chance to explore before. In fact, I have looked for articles and YouTube videos and talked to mentors about this, but literally no one has been able to sit down and walk me through this exact concept of how do you think about product management in a service-based business. And so whether or not this topic even makes sense, let me break this down for you, because if you can understand this one thing, it will change your business and change your life forever, regardless of what you do in your work, in your professional career, etc. And so there's a little bit of backstory here, which is looking back at my, you know, kind of short, modest career, it looks to me like a master plan, but I had no idea what I was doing. It was always about trying to do the next best thing. So I originally started off as a software engineer. I wrote and built, you know, software and code. And then I realized that I had a love for other things. So I then started doing product management, which was actually helping design the vision for the product and control the mechanics and the parameters of how this product is actually going to be used in the technology world. And then after that, I was like, man, I think I have understanding of the technology. I have understanding of the product. Maybe I could sell this stuff. And so I started doing more, you know, product sales. Then I realized, and I kind of fell in love with the art and the economics of money. And so I started doing more fundraising. I started doing more capital structure work. I started doing more investment banking like stuff, which I thought was good. And then I realized, man, the only way to really create insane amount of value is to have capital at risk and ideas at risk, which is to become a founder. So started off as an engineer, then did product, then did product sales, then did, you know, kind of financial engineering, Wall Street stuff, then became a founder in all of these things. So I have an interesting kind of personal perspective on this, which most people don't have and will never have because you don't really get a chance to do all of those things. And what does that really mean? If you are not in the product management world or don't know anybody in the product management world, I highly recommend you make friends with someone that runs product for a company. And product managers are the most fascinating, interesting, thoughtful, kind, and strategic people that I know, because they have to have one thing. They have to buy into this vision of what this product can do. If a product manager doesn't buy into the vision of what a product can do, it really doesn't work. I'll give you a crazy example. One of my friends was a product manager for a cat food brand. And all he would do is he would bring these cat food containers home and he would play with his cat. He would see how his cat actually pawed the little can. He would see how easy it was to pull up the tab. He would see how the cats actually smacked their lips. He had so much vision about this product that he was able to build a much better product. The candy bars have a product manager. Coca-Cola has a product manager. Gatorade has a product manager. Our app has a product manager. Netflix has a specific product manager. You need somebody that is going to take full control of this product experience to help you create this thing and bring this idea to life. So it takes a lot of vision. And here's number two. Product managers also have to be patient because it takes time to build something. And number three, product managers have to have obsession. They have to believe and be obsessed with building something, not knowing it's perfect, get feedback, build something more, not knowing it's perfect, get feedback, get adoption, get excited about adoption or not seeing enough adoption, drive more adoption, then get more feedback, build more things. You have to be obsessed to build something great. And the craziest part of it is this. There's two interesting pieces to kind of the product strategy that I want to share with you, which will be very important to you. And that is probably one of the fewest things I learned in business school, which was the idea of order qualifiers and order winners. And let me explain. Order qualifiers are those things that you're kind of a minimum acceptable standard, the things that you have to have. So for example, an order qualifier for a car is that it needs to have some doors, it needs to have wheels, it needs to have a steering wheel, and it needs to have safety equipment like a seatbelt or seats to drive. Those are order qualifiers. Like, I can't technically build a car without some seats and a safe body and some wheels, etc., right? So those are all the baseline stuff of what we need to have. The order winners are the ones that actually make the differentiating happen. So like if it's in a Tesla and you can have the order winner for the Tesla is I could click a button in my app and the car will just park itself. Now, not all cars have that. Not all cars are required to have that. Their order qualifiers are just to have the steering wheel and the doors and the seats and the wheels. But the order winners are the things that actually differentiate you, that make you win in the marketplace. For some people, the order winner is price, right? For some people, the order winner is a feature. For some people, the order winner is convenience. For some people, the order winner is the brand. What is the order winner? So when you realize this, it's super interesting, because if you go to Walmart, most of the people that have all the products there are all order qualifiers, right? You can get commoditized products, but if you want, what is Walmart's order winner? They are the most economical. Well, you can go to Costco and get the same exact things, but what is their order winner? Their order winner is you can get large quantities for a big discount, right? If you go to Target, you still get the order qualifier. You can buy the same piece of gum at Target or the same clothes at Target. You can buy the same toys at Target, but what is their order winner? You get a better store experience and higher quality product, right? So their order winner is quality. Now, that's why if you have two companies and the order qualifiers and order winners are the same, like a Walmart and a Kmart, the Kmart's going to lose because their order winners have no differentiation. And that's why product is a very, very interesting thing that every one of us needs to be obsessed about. So here's the question I have for you. How do you build, quote, product in a service world? Say it again. How do you build product in a service world? We all have a product that we deliver, right? So if you're a real estate agent, the product that you deliver is once the time a client hires you to work with them to either sell their house or buy another house, the delivery of what you do is your product. They are hiring that product. So a lot of times real estate agents will get into this really bad trash mindset, which is the coaches will tell them, hey, you deserve more. And that is your coach's way of making you feel better about yourself. That is not accurate. It doesn't matter what you deserve. You're only going to get paid what the market wants to pay for that, the product that you deliver. So that the way we make ourselves more valuable to the marketplace is not by more charisma, is not by, you know, driving a better car. It's by having a better product. What do you actually deliver to get the result? The overused word in today's world for that is value. Well, you have to offer value to the marketplace. But the crazy part is, most service professionals do not understand what the word value means. Meaning, if I told you, hey, you need to offer more value to the client, you're like, I don't know what that means. Like, what do I do differently? Do I bring cookies? Like, what is the value? And if everybody knew what the word value meant, they would offer more value. Even if you walk into a restaurant and said, well, you need to offer more value to charge for more for your food, well, the average restaurateur does not know what more value means. And that's why I'm going to show you how you can use product management in a service business world. If you can up the value of your product, if you can up the quality of your product, if you can up the delightfulness of your product, if you can up the warmth and invitation of your product, you will win because the product is what you deliver. At the end of the day, the client is not paying for you. They're paying for the value and the product that you deliver. We are a product management in a service world, and that's what we need to deliver. So let me give you three big pieces that will help you with this a lot. So the first one is to map the kind of client journey. And most people will not do this. And the people that actually do this will win big time. So here's what I mean. Take a sheet of paper and landscape and draw a horizontal line through it, right? So a line from left to right, dividing the piece of paper in half. On the left-hand side, you start with the experience when you just meet the client. On the right is the end of the experience. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about everything up top, draw a line up top and says that is what the client does in the process, and everything to the bottom is what you do. So let's say you meet with the client and this client has to sign a contract. So on the top, you draw a line and says client signs contract. on the bottom, right after that, what happens? What do? You probably do 10 different things. You get the contract signed, you start doing the work, you create a design, you create a proposal, what have you, right? So I want you to map out, what does the client do versus what you do? On top of the line is what the client does. On the bottom of the line is what you do. So in that very, very high level world, the client on the top of the line provides the input and you on the bottom of the line provide the delivery, which is the product. Everything that happens in the utilization of the product on the on below the line is the experience that you're delivering to the client. If you map this out, even at a very high level, you will know where the breakpoints are and where you need to find a way to delight the client a lot more, where you need to find a way to add more value. In fact, I would actually draw that out in an appointment. So if you're a real estate agent and you are doing a listing presentation, I would actually draw that timeline out and say, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Clyde, you do blank and we do these 13 things. Then you do make a blank decision about accepting a contract and then we do these 14 things. Then you do blank negotiation about signing off the contingencies and then we do these 13 things. And then the last 2 days, you do the final walkthrough and you get the when all the contracts and the funds are ready, you sign on the dotted line and we do all these 12 things. When they see everything that you do on the bottom of the line, they realize the product that you're delivering and the value that you're bringing to the relationship, which they could not do without you. If you are a lawyer, right? And it's the same exact thing. You tell the client, hey, you provide me X, I do all of these things. You provide me Y, I go to court for you. You provide me Z, I do ABC for you. Now they see the product of the experience that you're delivering. Most people, I probably recommended this, I don't know, for 10 plus years, and maybe 20 people have done it. And those 20 people make millions of dollars right now because they have a very clear understanding of what they do and what their client does. And the crazy part is you can use that alone as the pitch material in a relationship because when a client sees that, they visually understand from a stacking perspective how powerful the amount of value and the things that you do to bring to the table is. And most people don't know because this is what people always, here's what service professionals will tell their clients. They'll be like, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Client, don't worry. You can just do that and I'll take care of the rest. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Client, don't worry. Like, you can call my phone day or night. Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Client, don't worry. Like, you just have to sign the document here and we just do all the work for you. The problem with that is that you're burying this the complexity. So the client doesn't really have any idea what you actually do. And you're being taught to take away the pain and stress from the client. But in the process, you're not allowing them to experience the product. So here's a quote I want you to remember, which I use this often. And it is showcase the complexity, but deliver the simplicity. Say it again, showcase the complexity, but deliver the simplicity. If your client doesn't understand the complexity of everything that you do, they don't really appreciate the simplicity that you're delivering for them, right? If you just say, oh, just, you know, once you hire us, we do all the things for you, they don't realize 120 things that you do. Therefore, they think that you don't do jack squat. That's the problem. And that's what we need to do differently. Showcase the complexity, but deliver the simplicity. And the way you actually understand that is to draw a timeline above and below and showcase that all the complexity of all the things that you do, which is your product, right? That's number one. Here's the second thing that needs to happen for you to build product in a service world. And that is this idea that I call show flow demo. It's actually the title of my upcoming book. Just started writing it. Very interesting and fun to kind of think through. I'm actually going to write it in the theme of how Austin Kleon writes Show Your Work, which is super, super cool. And show flow demo. Now, your show flow demo is your product. Most of the times people think about what they actually do behind the scenes to deliver experience. Most of the clients don't understand a product-based experience because they're not in that transaction or in the service, right? I'll explain what I mean. If I told you, if I had an app and I wanted you to see the app and I wanted you to comment on the app, I would give you a demo of the app and I would let you play with it and then you would get a feel for the product. You would understand what it does. You would evaluate yourself using it. You'd be like, oh, this is cool. I think I can use it. But I have no way of helping you understand what it's like to work with me as a real estate agent or what it's like to work with me as a mortgage broker or what it's like to work with me as a coach or what it's like to work with me as a consultant. So what I do instead is I just show you testimonials, which is the dumbest freaking thing in the world because how many times have you shown your client bad testimonials? Never. So the client, every time you show a client a testimonial, they know that you're curating the best testimonials to show them. Right? So most of the times when we're given a testimonial, we take it with not a grain of salt, but a bucket of salt. And that's why when we go to Amazon reviews, we go to all the reviews and we read a bunch of the 2- and 3-star reviews, not the 1- and 5-star reviews, because we want to see what people actually are truly saying, because no one actually turned around and showed us, showed on their website, 300 terrible testimonials, right? So the reason I'm sharing this with you on the show floor demo is that the product that you have is entirely based on your sales pitch. And when I see what your sales pitch is, your presentation is, you have to be able to show, flow, and demo your sales process to explain and help a client understand exactly what they're going to get even before they get it. And that is called results in advance. I have to experience working with you as a real estate agent. I have to experience working with you as a coach. I have to experience working with you as a consultant. I have to experience working with you as a lawyer. I have to experience working with you as a physical therapist before you can actually work with me. That is how you show floor demo. And that is called proof over promise, right? Here's what most people do. Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Client, when you work with us, we will do this to sell your house. When you work with us, we will do this to get you a better body. When you work with us, we will do as this as a coach to help you make better money. When you work with us, we will do this in our agency to create more results. It's all about the promise of the future when you say yes to working with them, but there is no guarantee. Even if there is a guarantee, the guarantee is few and far between. But what you want to do is you want to show flow demo, and that is proof. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Product is in the show flow demo. Number one, when you're sharing and making a claim about something, when you say, hey, we work with our clients and we do ABC, show them what you do. Hey, so here is the plan, and show it to them. Here is the artifact. Here is the book. Here is the binder. Here is the map. Here is the diagnostic. Here is the formula. Here is the worksheet. Here is the dashboard. Show them, show it to them. If they don't see it, they don't believe you, right? So you have to make everything reasonable to help them believe you. The flow is something even more interesting, which is most of the times when you're in a service-based organization, clients are hiring us to do a bunch of things from a complexity basis that they don't have access or capacity or expertise to do. So if you're an attorney and you're working on some litigation, the client does not know how to do that. The client doesn't know how to file motions and with the court. The client doesn't know, you know, when to actually pass a judgment. The client doesn't know when to sign on documents. You are doing that workflow. So for you to show a flowchart of the things that are happening is really powerful, because now it shows your expertise to the client. The flow of something, like when one domino hits, what are the 17 other things that happens that you do? That just shows complexity and competence. And if you don't show the client that, they will not know that that you can actually do that. This is actually confidence inspiring and also safety giving for the client. This shows your competence and also gives them confidence that you can do the thing that you say you're going to do. Show them the artifact, flow, walk them through the workflow of the things that you're going to do. And the last part of it is demo. How do you actually demo something live? So if you're a consultant and you have a, you know, like a dashboard, you show them the dashboard and you show them a live demo. If you are using a piece of technology to do some lead generation, you show them the piece of technology. If you would actually make a call to a particular client and say XYZ, you make the call live at the meeting with them to show them you have the skill to do that thing. You have to show them how you hit a button and 13 things happen. Show flow demo. Show flow demo is your product. Now, your product is not what you actually deliver. Your product is what you can actually present. Most people misunderstand this. They just think that, oh my gosh, no one hires me. I've worked about this big infrastructure to have great people, have great systems, have great technology, have great process, have great accountability. I got a great office space, got a great network. You build all of this on the back end, but we do such a terrible job of actually showcasing it on the front end. We don't do a good job of demoing our product in the sales process so that our clients actually understand how much we can help them with it. That's the cool part about all of this. Show, flow, demo. So how do you build a product in a service world? Number one, get the timeline process. Above is what the clients will do. Below is what you do, and maximize that process. Number two, show, flow, demo. Your product is, the service is not what you do once you get hired. The service is only how you can package it and show it in the sales process. And the third is this. Elegantly different is insanely delightful. All right? Elegantly different is insanely delightful. And so if you are having a product or a service or something that you do, and it is similar to what the client would hear in the marketplace, if they would hear the same language, the same terminology. So if you go to a financial advisor, you know what they'll say? Oh, we are all open architecture. And all that they mean is that you can buy other stocks, other products, other funds, et cetera, on their platform. Now that's cool, but everybody says open architecture, but you are the same now, right? You're commoditized. What can you do differently That is not open architecture, right? If you're a real estate agent and you say, hey, when you list with us, we syndicate your property to 256 different websites. Well, every single real estate agent can do that because, you know why? The clients know that you are not taking your property and putting it on 256 different websites. They know that when you hit enter on the freaking MLS or on Zillow, it automatically syndicates. That's the problem because you've not showcased the complexity to them. The question is, what can you do elegantly differently? What terminology can you use that is different? How can you not sound like the average agent? Every time you use the same language, the same nomenclature, the same words, and the same scripts that the average agent uses, it drives sales resistance because they think that you are just like everybody else. Therefore, they need to pay you less because you are a commodity, right? That is the problem. So the question becomes, what is the order winner like we talked about? What is the self-driving car that we talked about, right? That is, and not just having a car with four wheels. Order winner, self-driving car. Order qualifier, car with four wheels. So what is the elegantly different thing that you can do? And that is the job of product. The job of product is to be differentiated. And the differentiating changes the way people perceive you, changes the way people connect with you, changes the way people interface with you. And if we don't have this product-based mindset of how we actually deliver a service, we will always have a commoditized service. I'll say it again. If we don't have a product-based mindset of delivering the service, you will always have a commoditized service. And when you have a commoditized service, you will be beaten down in price until you go out of business. You will get annihilated, right? And that is you and me and everyone around who are doing the extremely commoditized thing. And services often are commoditized unless you, number one, show a timeline, number two, have show flow demo, or number three, do something elegantly different that is insanely delightful. So that was the, what I want to share with you today was kind of give you the sense of how you can actually use product management in a service business world. And if you can make that leap, whoever has made that leap will win so big. And in fact, if you can actually have a product-based component to the service, your service will be super sticky and will win super big. That was the big idea that I wanted to share with you today. I hope you can take that and say, hey, what part of my service can I productize? Can I think from a product manager's perspective? How do I create this timeline-based approach where the clients understand it, where I can showcase the complexity and deliver the simplicity? How do I actually show flow demo all of the pieces of what I offer in the sales process? How do I make something that is elegantly different, but it's insanely delightful? How do I have proof over promise, right? I know this was a lot of chunky stuff in one episode, but I want to give you a different way of thinking about it because when you can blend product management into a service-based business, your business will crush it in the years to come.
Hey, this is Sharon. If you sell real estate, I have a cool gift for you. I packaged up my 7 best money-making trainings for real estate agents called the Top Agent Power Pack. It's raw and real, and it's 100% free as our gift to you. Just go to topagentpowerpack.com and grab it right now for free. That's topagentpowerpack.com.